Welcome back. You're in the huddle. What do we point to the game? Moving along on a Friday. Lots to get to. And, of course, as we try to get you ready for the weekend, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, NFL expert at Pro Football Focus, it's Eric Eager. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing okay, all things considering. How about you?
We're hanging in there just like you are. Hopefully, fingers crossed. You know, this will start to smooth on out a little bit like it is now and through the summer. But the schedule came out. I feel like, say, the new phone book's out. The new phone book's out. That's the Steve Martin, the jerk. Maybe it's over. But anyway, do you get wrapped up into the schedule being released, or are we making too much of a big deal about this?
Look, I'm not going to judge anybody who is looking for, you know, live new things in the sports world right now as somebody who has made a habit of watching old football games over the last 2 months. It's really interesting. And, you know, when you look at, you know, opponents, obviously we've known that, you know, since the season ended in week 17. But looking at how they're constructed, can really give us some insight into sort of how we handicap, you know, the 2020 NFL season.
Yeah, how much of a team's success or failure is predicated on not just their opponents, but the ordering and sequence of their opponents?
I mean, take the, you know, in your guys' neck of the woods, you know, Buffalo last season, six of their first seven games were in the state of New York. You know, and they started the season, you know, 6-2. They finished, I believe, 4-4, 4-5, if you count the playoff game. You know, our, you know, intuition about the Buffalo Bills was shaped by the fact that, yeah, they started two games on the road, but that both of them were in MetLife Stadium. Then they played some home games against weaker teams like Cincinnati, you know, and that's not trivial. You know, and you look at, you know, some of the teams, you know, for example, Kansas City, they sort of start out with a tricky first 4 weeks, but their middle eight, you know, a couple games against Denver, a couple games against Las Vegas, the, you know, the Dolphins at actually the tail end of that. I mean, it really is when you look at, you know, when not only who you play, but when you play them is super important in the NFL.
Eric, I love asking questions that I don't know if you could answer. So, Patriots have the hardest schedule in the NFL. But that's before the season started. We don't know who really. I mean, anything can just pretty much happen. How many times does the team with the hardest schedule, when it's all said and done after these 16, 17 weeks, still has the hardest schedule, or maybe the top five? Or do they ever go from, oh, they had the hardest schedule, we find out it was the easiest schedule, or is that just too crazy?
Yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, strength of schedule when using last year's, you know, win-loss record is always pretty dubious. So, you know, generally speaking, I'll use something like a power rating that incorporates, you know, the Vegas totals. I'll use a power ranking that incorporates some of the things we saw last year but adjusted for the future. I mean, I think New England does have a top 10 schedule in terms of difficulty. But if you look at, you know, just to answer your question, if the team's facing, you know, the Chiefs, for example, when they face New England in week four this year, are they facing a 12-4 team, or are they facing more like, you know, a 9-7 team, which Vegas has them at? Probably more the 9-7 team, but that's going to be incorporated in their, you know, strength of schedule. So I push back a little bit on that, but I do think New England probably has a tougher slate given how good Buffalo might be and how good, you know, some of the first place teams that are on their schedule are than they have historically.
Eric Eager, NFL expert, Pro Football Focus with us here, PFF.com, the site to go to, all the great data there. We love having these guys on the huddle on 101.3 The Game. See, I actually think the Patriots lucked out in a lot of ways in this schedule. Their first six games, kind of you could go through and alternate wins and losses. They got some winnable games there. They get San Francisco off of a bye. I'm feeling good about the Patriots schedule.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I mean, they, you know, when you look at, you know, that division, you know, I've actually, you know, I simulate the season out. I don't have any of the teams in that division with less than 7 wins. Wow. I don't have any of the on average, or any of the teams with any greater than 8 wins. I mean, you look at, you know, everybody's talking about how Jarrett Stidham, you know, might be the quarterback for the Patriots to tank, and that could very well be the case. But if you look at that defense, who they got in the draft, you know, who they, you know, the guys they lost, they replaced pretty, you know, pretty well with, you know, Josh Uche and, you know, Xavier McKinney and so on and so forth, or Kyle Duggar, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And when you look at who they got on defense, you look at that division, Miami, maybe a rookie quarterback, maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick, New York, Sam Darnold, we're not quite sure. I mean, they just signed Frank Gore, which is, you know, pretty funny. And then, you know, with the Bills, Josh Allen, anything can really happen with them. So you look at New England, you're like, well, you know, they might not be great, but they have six games that are profoundly winnable. And then you take your chances. I mean, you know, the first place schedule, obviously Kansas City is a tough one in Baltimore, but Houston's best, you know, the third best team in the AFC South now. So, you know, yeah, they do kind of, I think, relative to what we expected, you know, in January, let's say, they did kind of luck out.
Eric, Patriots got 5 primetime games, which is 4 more than I thought they should get. I know you're going over that, but I have zero interest, really. I'm watching them because they're in our neck of the woods, but what's moving the needle on them? Julian Edelman? Just to watch Stidham fail? There's nobody on this team that I'm excited about. How did they get 5 primetime games? Is Belichick playing? I don't know.
Well, you know, it's always about, you know, we always like underdogs, right? And I think to the point of, you know, they might start the season, let's say 3-4, four and three, something like that. We all are going to be glued, you know, we're going to be looking at like sort of the Cold War, right, between Tampa Bay and Tom Brady and whatever happens in New England. And while I think that the Patriots should play for a draft pick that could get them Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence next year, you know, Belichick is profoundly, you know, competitive. And, you know, I wouldn't blame him necessarily for trying to prove everybody wrong and have a winning season. And I think people will find that compelling. But, yeah, I mean, even last season when they had Brady, they weren't that fun to watch. I mean, they had good defense, but they kind of played a crappy schedule. And, you know, on offense, none of their receivers could really get open, and they haven't really rectified that. I mean, they drafted a couple tight ends. But on the outside, I mean, you're looking for N'Keal Harry to make a huge step. You're looking for Edelman to be healthy, you know, and Sony Michel to turn into sort of what he was in the 2018 playoff. And I just don't see that happening. So to the degree that we like, you know, 1987, you know, 13-10 games, that might be the only thing that glues people to their seats when New England's on prime time.
So things not great for the Patriots. How about the other team in our region that people care about? What about the Giants? Because I thought they had a much tougher draw in their schedule the way it was sequenced out. What did you read?
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at, you know, some strength of schedule measures, they have the hardest schedule. I mean, we're a little lower on the NFC, so we have them sort of more in the middle of the pack. So they do get a tough draw. I think their win total in Vegas is something like 6.5 or 6. And that's going to be tough for them to reach, even if they do improve, because, you know, when you look at that division, they had a really good draft. I mean, Andrew Thomas is a terrific pick. You know, they did a really good job of surrounding, I think, Daniel Jones with receivers. In the last draft, obviously, Saquon Barkley comes back. Their defense should be a little bit better with Xavier McKinney, but also, you know, DeAndre Baker should have a solid second season. But it's just tough because, you know, Dallas is going to be probably one of a top 5 offense in the league. Philadelphia, who already made the playoffs last year, got a lot better in terms of, you know, speed on the outside. You know, Washington had probably drafted the best player in the draft. It's just a really tough road for them. They could get a lot better fundamentally and not have much of a better record, you know, in 2020.
Eric, I don't care if they've gave Daniel Jones a primetime Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. It's not happening for him. I can't take it anymore. Nobody seems to see this. Am I nuts or is everybody else nuts out there?
No, I mean, we were not. I mean, picking him 6th overall, especially, you know, not trading back and taking him more where the market had him, I think it was a really big blunder for Gettleman. And, you know, the thing about so if you're a Giants fan, I think that the way that you have to view this, and I view the same thing, you know, with the Denver Broncos out west, is when you draft a rookie quarterback, the goal should be to find out, to fail quickly with him. You know, it's one thing that the Jets, you know, for example, with Darnold, haven't done. They haven't surrounded him with great talent or great, you know, coaching, and the jury's still out, and you're already on year 3 with him. That's not what you want. And so I think with the Giants, you give them a couple tackles, you give them some, you know, they got wide receivers, they got a pretty good tight end, they got Barkley. If he stinks, we're going to find out pretty quickly, which is exactly what you want, because what you don't want to do is go 7-9 like the Jets every single year and never get an opportunity to draft a quarterback high. So to me, that's like, I think, where the bright spot is. I'm not in on Jones, but I think what they've done, which is smart, is, you know, isolate the fact that if their offense stinks, it's going to be because of him.
You know, ESPN said that the biggest roster deficiency on the Giants was wide receiver. I'm like, well, what about the entire defense? But even so, I thought wide receiver was the only place I actually felt pretty good about them at. Do you see the wide receiver problem being a big one?
No, well, their defense, I mean, they cut Alec Ogletree because they could not cover the middle of the field, and they didn't really do it. I mean, I don't think that their replacement there is terrific. If you look at the NFC Championship game, and the way that the San Francisco 49ers yeah. ran all over the Green Bay Packers, you're going to be a little bit less in on Martinez there. But, you know, wide receiver, Slayton was a pretty good rookie last season. I think Shepard's a great, you know, inside-outside player. Tate is somebody who, you know, it always depends upon what kind, what Golden Tate you're going to get. But he's, you know, Evan Engram as well, I think, has a ton of talent. You know, some of the things that, you know, we saw with them the last few years was just deficiencies in Eli Manning and some of the, you know, their problems up front. But, you know, at times they look like a pretty solid group, and I agree with you. I think if they lose, let's say Daniel Jones is passable this year, the reason they're going to lose is because they can't stop anybody.
You think there's going to be any interruption in the schedule, by the way? I know they made it so that, you know, weeks one and two were, it could be anything, three and four are all out of conference. I'm just wondering, do you think there'll be any interruption? And fans, what are you thinking there?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and we've talked about it on, you know, our podcast, the PFF Forecast, which, you know, the hard part is not to try to get too, you know, in the weeds, but I've always put it at about a 75% chance they're going to play the whole season, but probably less than 50-50 that they play the whole season with fans. And I stand by that. I think with the NFL, you know, they're going to luck out in some sense because one of these other major sports are going to start before them. And, you know, the real backlash from the public is going to be on the first mover. And I think the NFL is likely going to be a second or more mover here. So I see it playing out. And, you know, the fact is they've taken some precautions over the past few months, which I'm encouraged about. I'm a little nervous that they didn't schedule some of the out-of-conference games the first 4 weeks because that would show an even greater sense of caution. But, you know, they'll make it happen. You know, the issue is the TV deals are just flat-out too large, I think, for them, you know, to forego in the 2020 season. So they'll do their best. And I think, you know, unfortunately players also, you know, the average, lifespan of a player is, you know, three and a half, 4 years, and they can't, you know, they can't go a year without getting paid either. So I think that they'll make it happen, and it won't be perfect. And there'll be some people who I think rightly look at it and say, you know, this isn't the right thing to do. But I think, you know, they'll take enough precautions where it's safe, you know, for, the players to play and safe for the fans, and we ultimately get the product that we love.
He's Eric Eager, of course, NFL expert at Pro Football Focus. Eric, certainly appreciate swinging on by. Of course, fingers crossed that everything goes smoothly, and we'll definitely do it again during the season.
Hey, thanks for having me on.